Welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow Podcast. This is our 11th episode. Yay. For Trust But Verify, which was an excellent episode. Yes. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen, along
and
with me.
I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin. Thanks for listening to us. So,
we just wrapped up watching the episode for the first time. Yeah. And I'm just going to say right off the bat, this is the first time that I've gotten chills from this show. Ooh. Because, like, there's been a turn recently in quality. Obviously, like, quality has been more consistent as of late. But this episode, other episodes have kind of, like, dropped hints at stuff that will be coming later. But I feel like this is the first episode that actually started laying real groundwork.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For stuff that's going to happen later this season. Mm-hmm. Stuff that we already know about. So it was just one of those episodes where, like, I mean, we got the one mention that sort of, it confirmed something that we've been assuming for a while, which is that Oliver didn't spend the whole 5 years on the island, that there was a portion of that that he wasn't on the island. And, I mean, we had a lot of evidence to back that up, his being able to speak Russian, the tattoo on his chest.
All sorts of stuff.
A bunch of stuff that makes you go, well, he couldn't have just been on the island, but he said it. Like, he flat out said,
he said, what makes you think it was on the island? So he didn't say technically that he was off the island. He just said that.
But he did. Okay. Like it was implicit. Yeah. Like, he didn't specifically say, like, I left the island and I was gone for this many days. Yes. But he did say, like, he said to Diggle, essentially, I wasn't on the island the whole time I was gone.
And it's just, it's back to its style now. And you were talking, because I pointed this out while we were watching the episode, that it's kind of nice now to have this nice, cushiony feel for Arrow that we know we're having, first of all, an episode that has at least two, usually three storylines that are all really integral to what it's called. So Trust But Verify. Again, these writers just are gold. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
So we have that consistency where we have always the multiple layers in the characters. And then also the flashbacks back to the island that we're really seeing this sort of consistency in how the episodes are shot and how it, and also, I don't know if anybody follows Stephen Amell on things, but he's been doing Q&As and things, and one of the things that he answered in one of his Q&As was about directing, and he's saying how they're now cycling back through directors, so they're establishing people that know the show and are connected to it and are really coming back to be a part of that team, and I think it's all really showing in these later episodes. So it's very exciting.
It's awesome. And Thea finally serving a purpose to the greater story other than just, you know, like, character development for Oliver. Mm-hmm. She's actually, like, she's furthering plot points, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, two pretty major ones, and we'll talk about those when we get there.
Yeah.
But before we do that, why don't we go into our mailbag and comments? You want to go first?
Well, I want to, because they're fun comments. I loved it. Mike texted me the other day. He's like, look on the YouTube page. And I did, and it was exciting because, so this is our YouTube video that we posted for the year's end, and people could see who we are. So Tiger 1972 said, great job, guys, another great episode, but now that all the podcast listeners have seen what a cutie Amanda is, aren't you worried about her fans hitting on her? Mike, I'm heterosexual, but in interest of giving you equal link, you're a handsome guy. Maybe some nerdesses may hit on you. So, very exciting, and I just thought that was great. I think one of the scariest things about going out into the internet and putting yourself out there is negativity and just having to be careful, like, be wary of that, and that it can really just... So it's really nice that people are being so nice and to us, so thank you so much for not hating us and calling us names.
If you watched more closely, you would see, and if you listened closely to the podcast, because I think I've mentioned previously, but if you watched closely, you see that I do have a ring on my finger, so sorry, ladies, but I am off the market, and my wife would be happy to hear me say that, so that I won't get hit on I haven't had to worry about it. Apparently, you know, Amanda's getting hit on the YouTube channel, but nobody.
Yeah.
You're like, only as equal opportunity comments am I getting any sort of a shout out. So. I think Amanda's
people are nice.
leading on that. But
thank you. No, it's good.
But yeah, that's awesome. So it's just awesome. Like, you're right. When we put ourselves out there, not just in voice and with our opinions, but also, you know, you put yourself, you present yourself essentially to an audience. It's it can go one of two ways on YouTube, yeah, right? You can either be people. Well, it's one of three ways. People can completely ignore you, which thankfully that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
We're not a YouTube sensation by any means, but people have been watching it, which it's an hour long video, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That like over 100 people have actually tuned in to watch us talk about Arrow. Trust me, I cut that thing.
Yeah.
It's not interesting. Okay, what we have to say is interesting, I hope.
But the episode itself is not.
But yeah, like, watching the two of us sit there and talk about it, that's why I said last week, like, we're not going to do that again, because it's just not that entertaining to watch.
And the other comment on here is, I'd rather just listen to it. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? No, fair enough.
Fair.
We will. This is, it was an experiment, and I'm excited, though, to do some of the stuff at the end. I think once this episodes are done and in the summer, we'll go around and
when we go and we scout the locations and stuff. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It'll be good.
But but it is nice when we put ourselves out there to get the positive feedback.
Is that the other two ways that it could go? Because we stopped at the first way.
The first way, being ignored. The other way is that, you know, you get people saying
really mean,
awesome, that's cool, and then people just
trolling.
Flaming you, right?
Please, like,
just completely and utterly.
I get upset really easily, so
it's true. So that's our first piece. We have a second piece because you guys are so intense about this show, best possible way, about Arrow as well as Quiver, that within like minutes of it finishing on the East Coast, we had an email. 17 minutes after it aired on the East Coast, like completed airing on the East Coast, we got a piece of mail from Mel Jones, and he says, granted, like, this is before we even watched the episode.
Yeah, because I just got here after.
Yeah,
like, we came right after work. This is a rarity. This is a Wednesday that we're recording on.
We're prompts.
It's good.
And like, what time is it? It is just starting to air on the West Coast right now.
Yeah,
we're recording
It's exactly 8 o'clock.
But we've already got mail in our inbox about this week's episode. So good job, Mel.
Yeah.
And he says, loved the show for several reasons. Diggle and Oliver being at odds with each other. They have great on-screen chemistry. I think we both agree with that. The drama. This episode proves that Arrow is not a hardcore action show. Is not a hardcore action show. I mean, it is. Like, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there, Mel. But the smart drama between the characters shined in this episode. So I think what he meant was it's not only hardcore action. The end scene on the island, that was awesome. It was. The lighting, one of my favorite things about this show. As a very dark show, do you ever notice there are several scenes where half the characters' faces are in darkness? Sort of symbolic of each character leading a dark double life. We talked a little bit about lighting last week and how they sort of light certain characters of certain colors.
We've talked about lighting a couple times, actually.
Well, we just talked about color choice a lot, I think, because it's really important to them what they put their characters in.
Yeah.
And Malcolm, which, in case you, for those who weren't watching it closely, Malcolm is Merlin's first name. It's Malcolm Merlin, and then Tommy Merlin is his son. Mm-hmm. So that's John Barrowman's character. So Malcolm, he is turning out to be a Lionel Luthor sort of character with his son and the other characters. You never know whose side he's on. And he says, I was only disappointed that there was no Paul Blackthorne this week.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait for the next show, you guys. And, you know, there was Paul Blackthorne. He was in a video on the show. So they watched him on TV on the show.
Yeah.
Which it was nice that he at least got something.
He got something.
Right?
That's actually really cool. I didn't really think about that until right now that they're really... Okay, and this is, again, that first scene when they do that, it's the thing I love about this show is the details, and they bring back, I'm pretty sure that was the same reporter that's in the very first episode, and these little parts that they just have consistency, it makes you believe the world that we're in, right? They're setting it up that, Paul Blackthorne, he's talking about a robbery on the news, because that's what would actually happen in real life, so I just... Again, it just keeps getting better and exciting to watch. So,
yes.
Ugh.
It is. Said, with that, should we just jump right into it?
We should dive right in, because otherwise I feel we'll talk forever about how awesome things are. And anyways, it's lots. I'm glad you put the...
Closed captions?
Closed captioned. I was afraid that maybe you wouldn't have...
I always remember the closed captions, because we have to see whether or not anybody sighs.
Yeah, in the, just in that. The... Everyone scoffs, you
scoffs,
mean.
Sorry.
So the latter thing, too...
every episode. It's got to be in every episode.
But he answered a question. Someone asked if the ladder, what happens once it gets to the top and he jumps down. He's like, I don't know, my stunt double goes and gets him. And I thought it was kind of funny. Because it's, right? Like, it's little things that you don't really think about, but obviously
because he's
fans
always
are
climbing
attention.
All the way up.
Yeah,
and then
he
just
jumps
lets
down.
Go.
Exactly. So it's cool That's awesome. The fans are so attentive to things. So, very cool. And the fact that he's giving a crap to answer these random questions.
Yes.
So, very excited.
Well, we talked about this before we, or just as we started watching the episode, and Stephen Amell is as big a fan as we are.
Yeah,
right?
Which is so great.
Yeah, which is
really
awesome.
Cares. And he also shout out to Vancouver in his first Q&A that he did, which is on his Facebook, but he said that, and it's true, Vancouver, when you talk about what's the worst about Vancouver, everybody automatically goes to the rain.
Yeah.
But the weather in Vancouver is also what makes it one of the most beautiful cities on Earth.
Yes.
Like, when it is sunny here, Vancouver is absolutely gorgeous.
It's got to rain that much so that it looks as nice as it does.
It does. But it suits the tone, right? It's true. It suits the tone of Arrow and the sort of the wet.
And nothing looks better at night than slick roads in Los Angeles. Like, that's sort of great for this scene right here, because we're seeing the armored car driving down and being hijacked. Or not hijacked, but robbed.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that the roads have that slick look to them.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles, because it doesn't rain there, they'll actually like wet the roads.
Oh, crazy!
In order to get that look, because that look, it just on film, it just adds a little bit extra pop, a little bit more dynamic to the lighting. And in Vancouver, you don't have to worry about that,
because
the roads are almost always wet. It's been foggy as heck the last few weeks,
and
even when it hasn't been raining, the roads have been just wet. Everything's just wet. So, this military group, military looking group, attacks this armored van and steals it.
Yeah.
And then we jump over from that to mourning at the Queen Mansion
with Thea turning 18 years old. So, her birthday, very exciting.
And Tommy just hanging out, just coming over for breakfast.
But he's so great. Again, the world of the show, that he's so nice to Moira, because obviously he's known her forever and comes over and is just.
Well, and as we delve into in this episode, his mom is dead.
Yeah, so
Moira is probably the closest thing that he has, right? With Oliver being his best friend. So, I think that's a subtle thing, but it's layered in there.
Layered.
It's the nuance, right?
Oh, so, again, every time we talk about good. This, more exciting. So, and then, again, they're watching the television, and we have Paul Blackthorne be in this episode more. But, anyways, very exciting. And I think there was something, too, where... And I'm a bit upset that Oliver is not as attentive as Arrow, because he even is saying that his mom is acting weird in this scene, and he doesn't really seem to follow through with that at all. Like, how easy? By the end of this episode, he could have found out everything about the Cult of the Squiggly Lines.
Yes.
He chose to not do that, because he let himself get sidetracked by other things, right? Sorry, he's doing... This is crazy. He's doing one-handed push-ups and...
And he's, like, dripping.
Dripping
with sweat, literally.
Anyways. But it's just very interesting that the things that they put it in there that he sort of notices, but he also has to make a choice to not really investigate her that much. And it really, in the end, is Thea, who, if we notice, and we'll jump to the end, but that he is going to probably ignore all the signs of Moira as well, because he's, again, gotten sidetracked by something else. So... just very interesting.
Yeah, I think he also, like, he doesn't necessarily want to see it, and there's also the aspect of it, it's a little bit contrived, but we're not there yet, right? It's not important for him to know that stuff yet.
So we have Ted Gaynor, who's playing him again?
Ben Browder.
Ben Browder, so.
From Farscape and was on Stargate SG-1.
Oh, man, see, Stargate, I love
Stargate. Well, you love Stargate Universe. You have to qualify that, because Stargate SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis are a very specific flavor of sci-fi that only certain people like.
Oh, yeah.
Stargate Universe, however, is a little bit more, like, for everybody.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Robert Carlyle.
Stargate Universe was so good.
So good. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Again, we started the subject. So this totally is great. Diggle is a great actor. The more I keep, or Diggle, the character, I guess, whoever plays him. We don't have our cheat sheet today. Curses. but he's doing such great subtlety with this. Like, it's the episode where I'm kind of, at the beginning, was like, oh, yeah, Diggle episode. And then later on I said, oh, yeah, Thea episode as well, or a Moira episode. So, again, this show is doing such a good job of making us care about all three of these storylines.
Yes.
And really, that they're all part of it.
Yeah.
And later on, because Ollie does say this, that he chose Diggle as a partner, right? So that he's really not doing it alone as Arrow, and that everybody else is important. So, it's exciting.
Yeah, so he's essentially, what's happening is this guy that Diggle was in, his commanding officer.
He's in the military, yeah.
From the army. Mm-hmm. The army, right? He's army.
Sure. I don't know the difference.
You don't know the difference between army and Marines. Air Force? I'm pretty sure he's army. But his commanding officer from when he was in Afghanistan is sort of the head of a security group.
Cool.
But he's also on the list.
Right.
So they just had a huge argument about all that. But now we flashed onto the island, and if you guys remember from last week, Abercrombie Oliver just beat the snot out of a guy, rolled down a hill with him, and then took all of his clothes so that he can infiltrate this group, and as we're gonna find out, try and rescue Yao Fei. Mm-hmm.
This is such an interesting.
Abercrombie Oliver
is great. Like, he's really, there's this subtlety here.
I don't know that we can call him Abercrombie Oliver for much longer, right?
No, because he makes some choices in here that really you see, you hear them, and the choices really make a difference. So
Well, this whole part of him saying, "What?
Did I just got a theory."
Okay.
Based on, at the end of this episode, I will reveal it because it's based on what's happening. With who's on the island and why they're there and things that we learned about John Barrowman today. Yeah. And I have some theories.
Okay.
That basically at the end of it, I'm wondering if they're setting up Arrow to be a part of the Cult of the Squiggly Lines. That they have conditioned him to be exactly who he comes back to be. That he is part of the plan.
We'll see.
I'm just going to put that out there.
All right, we'll talk about it at the end.
He's getting into the car.
Because now what we've got is Oliver actually being pretty clever for the first time. Abercrombie Oliver.
He
being
is. Clever yeah,
for
yeah,
the
yeah.
first time.
Yeah.
And
gives up food.
Yeah, and he says, oh, you know, I'm new. I was supposed to be
transporting
the prisoner. Do you know where they took him? Mm-hmm. And that's how he finds out where Yao Fei's gone. Yeah. So that is pretty clever on his part. So he gets in the car, but then that I can't remember that guy's name.
Sebastian Dunn is his real name. I don't know what the actual character is.
Yeah, the military guy that runs to the prison island.
Yeah.
We're perpetually a scene behind right now.
We are. Now Tommy and Merlin are talking dinner.
Yeah, so he wants to go for dinner. Yeah. Wants to see him for dinner and sort of apologize, I guess.
Gets to know Laurel, I think, is what it is as well. And the idea that
it seems like an olive branch.
And basically, to Merlin, or to, because we're going to call Tommy and Merlin, because I don't want to call him Malcolm, but to Merlin, he succeeded, right? I guess if you're a dad and you tell your son that he's a good for nothing, and then he goes out and gets a job, well, you proved exactly what you were saying. So. It works for them.
I mean, he went to his best friend and sort of horned in on his best friend's business venture, but, you know, it's something. It's a start.
It's something.
So now we're at this, the Black Hawk security, and Oliver, against Diggle's wishes, is investigating.
Is this building the same building maybe that they used for Supernatural? This is looking like the office building that the Felicia Day episode took place in, too.
It's probably similar. It may be the same one. It's Ted Gaynor. There it is, right there in the closed caption. So yeah, he's investigating Ted Gaynor, and Oliver's about to sort of put the hurt on him and get the information that he needs when Diggle shows up.
And you just look at his eyes. I didn't catch that the first time where Ollie is shooting the arrow and then he sees Diggle and he sort of just glares. There's a little bit of a glare there. He's like, God damn it.
He gives it a little bit of the death stare.
Yeah, yeah.
The stink eye.
It's great.
To him. So yeah, like Mel said in his email, they're at odds. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, they're constantly at odds. Like, let's be fair. Like, yeah. That's part of their dynamic. Yeah. But they're really at odds in this one. Like, not mm-hmm. only do they disagree, but Oliver doesn't trust.
Yeah.
He's not trusting him right now, right? Yeah. It's part of the whole theme of this episode, the trust but verify, right?
Which is, oh God,
so great. So, like, he says at the end that it's not that he trusts Diggle, but mm-hmm. he doesn't trust them. He doesn't trust anybody else.
Yeah.
And there's the whole conversation they're going to have after this about Oliver makes his escape. He shoots a computer or now, something. And
this really shows...
Steals a flash drive, which is really important.
This shows Diggle's, I think, prowess as a person. I guess the fact that he knew what Ollie was going to do. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go and tell them that they need me to be a part of this organization, right? So it's great. It shows that Diggle has a real understanding of who Ollie is.
And you know, like, it's a thing where, although he may be saying to Oliver, no, don't go after him,
mm-hmm.
at the same time, it's brought up the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Diggle is also going in there. He never really says it, but you get the sense that he's gone in there to verify things for himself.
Yeah.
He trusts his friend, but he wants to make sure that there's not other stuff going on. So like, here's the conversation where Diggle's all pissed because he's like, you trust the book more than you trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I trust my father more than I trust the book. And he's like, I thought your father was dead. And then he's like, he told me some stuff.
A few years ago, I found a message he left me.
Yeah.
I want to see this again, explaining the list. So he left a message. This is so exciting.
Yeah.
You were on a deserted island. I didn't say I found it on the island. Oh!
So there it is, right? And that's the moment. The moment that I got chills, that I was like, everything that they've been, like, the hints that they've been dropping. We said this really early on, second or third episode. We didn't know how much to speculate about the show. If it was, like, Lost or if it was, like, you know,
something that gives things in
something
the
terrible
away,
90210
sure.
right? 90210 is awesome, I love it, but it's not that kind of show.
Yeah.
Which I think is the example that I use. But they're dropping hints, and mm-hmm. those hints are important.
Yeah.
Those little things.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're Easter eggs, like the you know, the hex code on his prison uniform.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're jokes and that sort of thing, sort of like in jokes and Easter eggs, but sometimes these things are super important to the plot. Mm-hmm. Like, the people who knows, I never would have known that his tattoo was a Russian. Well, I guess that it was part of a plot.
It was part of a plot. But I mean, they set it up. But that was not a plot in the first episode. It's not
like
in the first
episode.
Yeah,
like, people
you know,
were talking about it really early on. Like, mm-hmm. why does he have that Russian tattoo?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's been important, right?
Yeah,
and it'll
yeah.
continue to be important because obviously it's part of him being off the island.
Which is interesting that you brought that up, because in the first episode, they have the Russian maid.
Yes.
And then she disappeared after that. So perhaps they initially, when they shot the pilot way back when, the writers perhaps weren't thinking about that. But then as soon as it got picked up and they started thinking perhaps forward a bit, they could change how he knew Russian.
Yeah.
Right? Because in the first episode, maybe it's just that he had a Russian maid and that's how he... Yeah. Anyways, very interesting the way that they set these things up. So, Moira and Thea in the car now, having sort of a mother-daughter moment.
Yeah.
We were a little bit mean to Moira last week about when we were talking about female characters. I just wanted to say that she's actually quite strong, I think, in a different way. She's very, very manipulative and obviously lies, but in terms of, like, what she's doing, she's the CEO of this industry and is...
Yeah.
In this episode, we see able to manipulate Malcolm a little bit. Like, she's not being completely manipulated herself. She's a full partner in whatever it is that's happening and completely understands it. So while she might be very two-faced, I just think it's very interesting. I think that there's levels to her character that we just haven't explored yet or fully comprehended.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but she is, it is quite annoying. She's, I don't know. I can't figure it out if I like it or not. But anyways, this is where you get Thea really listening and understanding that there's more going on here. And obviously we get that insight into stuff that happens previously before the boat sunk.
Yeah.
Thea is talking about how they were having clandestine meetings and all this was happening. So,
and they were fighting all the time.
Yeah. So obviously I cannot wait to find out what happens or what's going on. What is the plot? What is the conspiracy?
Yeah.
I want to know. It's been 11 episodes. Come on, give us something.
And then we've got, there is sort of just, I don't know, I guess business that has to be done where Tommy has to go to Laurel and say, yeah. my dad wants to have dinner and, yeah. you know, and her saying, he doesn't want to do it, but she yeah. says...
Oh, it's the great burn. This is the reason for having this.
Yes.
Like, lucky for you. It's such a great, oh.
Yeah, yeah. I love that look on his face of like, he knows that he just got dissed hardcore, but he's okay with it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's one of those clandestine meetings. Mm-hmm. That has a wonderful twist at the end that neither of us saw coming. Like, we both audibly gasped at the end of it.
We did, yes.
I want to say that my
brain saw a lot of things before I was able to process it properly. Because the way that Theo was acting in the car, it's really, really
yeah.
stupid to have thought that she wouldn't have followed her mom.
Yeah.
Exactly where my brain earlier, and that didn't. It's interesting. I didn't trust myself enough in this.
Well, you know, it moved really quick. Moved really, really quick. Because of all the stuff that was going on. So I... Thankfully, I guess Thea didn't really hear anything that was going on. Because there she is
right
at the end.
John touch her so much? That was the weird part.
I think for the plot of it.
Right.
Or
for the... Maybe it's a him trying to be powerful or something.
I think so. I think that's what it is. Because you actually...
Patronizing.
You see... I think you see Moira do it to... Oliver.
Oh, you do
because
see Moira
like
do to Oliver. I wonder
went,
why they did
they
that.
They went to a real length to like
show her touching
insert,
his arm a
yeah,
lot
insert
of times.
Insert that shot to show
oh,
that she's
man.
Trying to manipulate Oliver.
Dude.
But Oliver kind of sees past it,
Look
right?
at that. This show yeah. is brilliant. I
oh,
didn't
yeah.
even think
so
about
smart.
It on that level.
So smart.
That's great. Look at those subtleties that are put in there. Oh, man. Great. I wonder if that's the director or if that's written in. I wonder if they just have a brilliant because
you know I think that
well this
that,
would have
to
be written in
that no that was probably a lot of direction I think that
maybe,
was probably a
true.
Lot of like saying you know there are parallels between these scenes
yeah.
let's do something more like
right,
let's
yeah.
take that to another it's level and that's where a good episodic director is going to come
yeah.
in it could
yeah.
also be the executive producers though who
yeah.
are who
just
will
are
be
really
around
good,
and
yeah.
sort of make those comments and
mm-hmm.
say
yeah.
let's do
right.
this.
Yeah.
But so we've got Diggle is hanging out with Ted. And they're having dinner at the what is it, Big Belly Burger?
Yeah.
And Diggle's sister-in-law, some business goes on there and he we sort of acknowledge
yes,
for the first time
yeah.
that there's something going on, that there's
mm-hmm.
feelings between those two characters, whether they want to pursue that or not. And I think by the end of this episode, those characters are being put in a position where they
so
will start to
themselves.
Explore.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's
great.
And now Thea's going to spill the beans.
Yeah.
I was really, like, this again, like, it turned it on its head a little bit, because I thought here she is, she's going to come in and tell Oliver... They're doing like they like she heard the conversation.
Yeah.
Walter's alive.
Oh right,
but,
yeah, but no.
But what she
dead.
Ends up coming in and saying is she's hooking up with Tommy's dad, and it's like, so she didn't hear anything. She just
yeah, yeah.
saw the conversation
yeah.
take place.
And but she's so intuitive to get like that it happened before.
Yes.
She's not wrong.
Purpose. She's wrong, but
she's
not
wrong.
She's
not wrong. Yeah.
Which is really great
yeah.
is that she does like what's
yeah.
happening. Wait, what's happened with Walter is exactly what happened with Robert. But
yeah.
it's sort of like... The only difference here is that this time Moira knew it was going to happen a little
yeah.
bit more and
yeah.
said, take him out, but take him out of the game, but
don't
kill him.
Right.
Like, if you harm him, I'm done. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. I'll ruin your plans or whatever, right? So,
And
that's a lesson that she learned with Robert. So... It's very interesting, the parallels there, and you're right. Thea sees it.
Mm-hmm. But she needs
But she's
Ollie.
Misinterpreting it.
No, she needs Arrow to figure it out.
Yes.
And this is why I say here that
yeah.
it's Oliver that's having this conversation with his little sister. He doesn't see it yet as Arrow being able to interrogate someone that might know a lot about his dad.
But like, here's the thing. The reason why I think we look at it and we go, why aren't you investigating
mm-hmm.
that? Is because we know everything that Walter knows. And we know that Malcolm is a bad guy. That
right.
that Merlin's a bad guy, right?
Right.
But Oliver doesn't know that yet. Oliver
That's
doesn't
true.
Have any of that information, right? Like, he doesn't know anything about what Walter has uncovered.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anything about the ship. He knows about the list, and he's very single-minded. Like, he's got that list, And that's where his focus is.
Does he not know? This is the thing that we haven't established yet. Does he not know that the ship was sunk on purpose? Because that's something that maybe he could have discovered.
Not as far as we know.
Right. We don't
but
know
that
he knows.
No, I don't think that he I don't think that he does. I think that's a really important part of this story. And when he finds that out, I think when we see Walter again, mm-hmm. when Walter comes back, or when Arrow sort of chases down Merlin,
that,
essentially,
yes.
like mm-hmm. that aspect of the story of this other archer, mm-hmm. And he finds Walter... I think at that point, it's going to open up all of this other stuff and give him the hint that, like, it's a much bigger problem and there's more people involved in it than he thinks, right? That it's not just the people on the list. And that the list is really, like, the list is as much a list of targets for them as it is for him.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's just not there yet. And I think... Like, this is more about him trying to figure out what's going on with his mom than it is about him trying to figure out what's going on as Arrow.
It is. The more that we keep talking about this episode, the more I think that my theory that I put out there is right. What if now he's supposed to go back and clean up the list? And, like, I'm just like, maybe it gets rid of all these superfluous, like, people that are partying.
Yeah, but there's also the aspect of it that Merlin... puts on his gear and goes out after him to try and stop him.
Yeah,
right.
Fine, never mind.
And they try and get rid of the vigilante, right?
Okay.
Like it's sort of been a bit of a plot point. So
darn it, whatever. I like having theories. I'm gonna have it. But you're right. Sorry. So we're at the scene with Oliver and Moira, which is good.
Yep.
And you get it. You're right. It's. I wondered why they did that close up of the.
Yeah, the insert shot of him of her touching his arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know why. What's interesting now, and I'm seeing that this is probably a directorial thing, because I wondered why they did the insert of the handshake between Diggle and Knox, or whatever the guy is, and it probably has to do with power relationships, and how contact and trust, and that it probably has a lot to
well,
do
you
with
can
that,
tell
the
from
thematic
a, you can tell from
it.
A handshake whether or not somebody, like if you have a conversation with somebody and you don't trust them, and you shake their hand, you can tell. You can tell if they're holding something back, right? Or if, like you said, like the power relationship, mm-hmm. they're trying to hold something
over. Yeah,
it's
very interesting.
You. But yeah, it's interesting because she's being very honest with him up until the point that she touches his arm, and after that, she doesn't make eye contact with him, right? Like she avoids eye contact because she's lying, right? And she doesn't completely lie, which is the sign of a great villain.
Yeah,
is that they always use. Half truths, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the most dangerous lie you can use because it's believable, right?
Yeah. And here we have back on the island where they've led Ollie, obviously, here. Where
to,
so
to
he's a prisoner. It's a prisoner island, and it's very interesting.
Yeah.
So this is the first time, well, I mean, not the first time, but it's a real solid indicator that it was all on purpose.
Yes,
which we hadn't really gotten before.
There
that there's probably a lot more to that, and that Wally's there for so many reasons, and it's just very exciting. So, anyways, and now we're back to Laurel and their conversation, and this is where you get. We have never heard that his mom died, did we? Did we know that his mom was dead? No.
We knew that she wasn't around.
Right, but
we didn't know she was
what
dead.
It was.
We didn't know that
but
she was
killed. Which is exciting.
Yes.
So we're going to get a little bit... These are the best kinds of villains when you get to figure out why they are the way that they
are.
Well,
here's the motivation for why he's a villain, right? And you know what? I think we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. We find out later, he left for a couple of years. And that's when he presumably gained all of his martial arts skills. We're talking about Merlin here, right? It's going to be easy to confuse that with Oliver. Because I think... that the vigilante aspect of it was very similar.
Right.
But I think that he left and he found the Cult of the Squiggly Line, which, you know, if he's gone and he was in the Middle East or something like that,
it could
very easily be the
cult of
Shadows, which is from Batman, which is Ra's al Ghul, right?
Yeah. Oh, we have Felicity back. We sort of talked over her a little bit because I love her. But look at the colors in this. It's so dark and she's in this computer area and it's... They're establishing her. I think this is the first time we've seen her in, like, a set. Where he came to her in sort of a... Well, he's come to her before previously, but it's...
I think this is the same set.
Area.
The same...
Maybe it's just lit very, very, very differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, so again, something about, I don't like how she looked at him at the end of this scene.
And the music cue. The music cue is a romantic music cue.
It's annoying as hell. Why can't they just have her as a tech? And it's just really, she's a cool character. She doesn't need to be.
Yeah, but the thing is that Felicity Smoke's character from the comics is well known for being romantically entangled with superheroes. That's sort of her thing.
Know that. Oh, okay.
So, but I don't think they're going to go down that road with them. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. But yeah, so this is where we find out the real reason for them having this dinner is is that Merlin wants to get Tommy to sign this thing to close a clinic.
Okay. Which is
but he's not going to do it. Sorry, and we completely talked over the scene with Felicity, and the plot there is that Oliver had the flash drive and he needs somebody to decrypt it.
Yeah.
That's it, though.
That's all.
There was some other cute stuff there, him lying through his teeth.
But, yeah, which is great.
But yeah, it was a good scene. But yeah, this is it, we go from that humor to this intensity of.
Well, and it becomes lighter as well. It's very interesting the way that they contrast things. Anyways. I love John Barrowman. He's great.
Yeah. It was a good scene. It was a really, really good scene.
Yeah.
You know, the only character for me that has a little bit of weakness left in them, like in their character structure and the purpose of them being on the show, I think is Laurel. But, Last week we got a little bit of it with her getting the phone. But if that's not going to be a major thing every week, the weeks that she's something else, like right now, she's just... She's like a bystander in that conflict between Tommy and Merlin, right? Like she was sort of us dealing with the information that we were being given. And you see her try and confront him, and he just, like, stands up and just dresses her down. And after which she's like, jeez. Like, I don't think she doesn't understand how in over her head she is at this point. Those characters.
The more that we talk about Laurel, the more I think that they're really going to hold off on Black Canary until second season.
Yeah.
The more I just really think that...
Well, we're halfway through the season already,
and we just haven't gotten any... And I think that that's probably why, is that they maybe just... if we push her anymore, she's going to head there too fast, perhaps.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, fair enough. Anyway, so you get Felicity here talking, saying that there wasn't anything about a scavenger hunt. This is just an intense... illegal document.
Yeah, and she's like, this is the guys who are hijacking, who are robbing armored cars, because there's specs in here for military-grade grenade launchers and the routes of all of the armored cars. And it's like, the one thing here is that I feel like Felicity is really not being given credit.
Yeah.
There should have been some acknowledgement that she's figuring out that he's
Arrow.
The vigilante.
Yeah.
And if by the end of the season, if she hasn't figured it out and confronted him about it,
she'll be the dumbest person ever.
And then gone. But this is the thing: is that I think that they're really setting her up to be the one who goes to him and says, "Walter disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he was looking at.
Yeah.
Don't try and tell me you're not the vigilante. I know you are.
Yeah,
it wasn't
a
scavenger hunt. It wasn't.
Yeah,
you weren't looking for something for your friend who does archery. I know what you're up to."
Well, that'll be the interesting moment, right? Where she brings him something really important, and he kind of looks at her being like, "Why are you bringing this?" She's like, "Oh, because you're the Arrow. Go and deal with it."
Yeah.
That'll be the good payoff when it's like clear that,
like,
there's
no time. Just go deal with it. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. And it'll be at a moment when he's feeling really that everybody hates him as the Arrow.
Yeah.
And she'll come in and be like, no, it's good, go. Anyways, so here he is dodging bullets with his arrows. Sorry, but the scene...
Although, I will say, the scene
where he jumped off of the car with the bullets, that was an epic scene.
Badass.
That was pretty, pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was great.
It
was very heroic. Like, that was very comic book panel.
It really was.
So, he's intercepted these guys when they're trying to rob an armored car. He's managed to tag one of them. Not tag them, but shoot
one of them
through
so
the shoulder with an arrow.
It
was wicked when he grabs the trash can lid and blocks
the
grenade.
They were
smoke grenades, right? So, I mean, like, it was mostly just the force of it being launched at him that he had to deal with. There's a minor explosion, but it's not a...
It's not a concussive intense one. Blast, so. Right?
Yeah, so... but yeah, I just thought that was really great. And that it slowed him down. I love the realism of the show that, like, he doesn't just, like, you know, block it with a can and
get up, right? Just, yeah.
And now we've got Thea's crazy party. Her
Which
crazy
is
birthday
pretty
party.
Epic. I like yeah. it. It's
everybody with their raver glow sticks and stuff.
In the mansion. Yeah. This is the coolest thing. When it first sort of came out, I was like, ooh,
The nightclub,
but no, yeah. it's just their epic mansion,
yeah.
Which is
Have they had strobe lights in every single episode of this show?
Have they? Probably.
It's kind of like the OC where they have to throw a party every episode.
That's what I was saying earlier on. I totally was thinking that they always have something because they're rich, yeah. And they did. They really started that theme early on when yeah. Ollie was having that chained up party and all that. Anyways.
So now Diggle's kind of admitting, yeah, okay, you're right. It's not... But Oliver's also admitting, your buddy's not in on this.
Mm-hmm.
Gaynor wasn't part of it, but Blackhawk is involved. Yeah. I have proof. I just intercepted them. I just dealt with them.
Well, you have that... Oh, this moment where you really... Again, you're like, Diggle clearly saw that.
Yes.
Diggle clearly was like, what are you
saw
bugging me for?
Yeah.
So... So we have Thea's friends here.
Important character development.
And illicit drugs.
Yeah.
That are green.
Called Vertigo.
Which we don't find out until the end.
I missed... No, she just said it.
Oh, did she?
We both missed it the first time.
Yeah.
But it's with the closed captions on. She said Vertigo. So, they're setting stuff up for future episodes, which is really cool. Because Vertigo... Title of the next episode, Count Vertigo coming up, played by Seth Gable.
Yeah.
So very cool.
Exciting. Very exciting.
And now we've got Merlin and Moira again, this time at Thea's party, and this is going to push Thea over the edge because she just walked in on them. Mm-hmm. Thea in her dress that's not really a dress.
Yeah, the shirt dress.
Yeah, her shirt dress.
Goodness me.
Because coming down the stairs in a second, it's like, oh, I'm glad that's dark lighting, because otherwise you would see straight up her dress. Like, straight up it.
Oh.
Yeah, because she is... She looks like she's wearing a towel.
She really does.
Like, I've seen towels that cover more than that.
Oh,
yeah,
dear.
But that's Thea for you.
And
not that she can't pull it off. I mean,
she has her car keys in her hand. I wondered, okay, they really are setting that up. I was like, why is she holding keys? And because it was out of place with what it is. Because
she was just all excited about her new convertible, right? So
yes, that makes sense then. Oh, this is why he goes into that vehicle, because he saw something debris on the ground, which would make sense that maybe it's this vehicle that has a blood in it. And he is correct in his suspicions. So I can narrate this a little bit more if we want to. I really like the action-y stuff. It's like we know what's going to happen. Well, we don't really, but...
No, we do. We know he's going to get caught here. Because otherwise, why would it be happening? Yeah. It wouldn't be happening. He wouldn't have been bugged by Oliver if something wasn't going to go down.
Yeah, that's true. So... Anyways, it's good. See, the thing is, this is, again, the misdirection why you have the Knox... Or whoever, I think that is that his name?
Knox,
come and confront him, so it's not automatically Gaynor that comes, but then you have Gaynor later, the reveal. There's a lot of reveals in this episode.
Yep.
Probably the most epic reveal in this episode, we knew it was John Barrowman, so that wasn't epic.
Yeah.
But
I think it actually would have been nice if we hadn't gotten confirmation a couple episodes ago in Year's End.
Yeah.
And if this episode had been confirmation that John Barrowman
was
Merlin.
Yeah, it was Merlin. That would have been kind of cool. I didn't really.
Yeah, it would have been nice. I mean, it works the way that they did it because obviously we already knew. Right?
We all knew it was going.
Anybody who knew anything about the comic books, even us who don't know anything about the comic books, but thankfully have you fine listeners to inform us of stuff from the comic books.
We know a few things about.
We know a couple things.
We know some stuff. We don't know as much as we should.
Not nearly as much.
Not nearly as much.
But this had a lot of turnabouts in it, but they were good ones. Some of them were fairly obvious. I mean, Gaynor being the bad guy, I think we pretty much knew that. But it's still the way the story unfolded, you weren't sure. right? Yeah, there was still true. Room for that's doubt, true. which yeah. means, you know, it's that's mm-hmm. still a well-written story. Yeah. And then, but the, like, the interesting part is now seeing the justification for mm-hmm. why.
Again, because they're all characters that, this is, again, the good villains have the reason for doing it, so.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyways.
So the whole motivation here is that, as soldiers, they were essentially, they were warriors, and they were
yeah.
conquerors.
Yeah,
and in war tasers. Zones. But, yeah, but back here, like, they're just, he says, nannies with tasers.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because this is sort of like this is very much a foil for Diggle.
Who scoffs? Yes, Diggle we picking up scoff. The slack from Paul Blackthorn in this episode with a scoff.
It's important. We got to know Thea had blue pants earlier in the episode, yeah.
and then
we got
a scoff.
One scoff, and it was so, from Diggle.
It's good.
So, yeah. But I so
and you know this as soon as it's so brilliant yeah. the things that they set up you know as soon as he's gonna need convincing you're like no
yeah
Carly
so yeah he wants them to they're down a man so they need somebody to fill in
the thing is do they really need another man the way no. that I watched it go down I'm like I'm not pretty sure they could have done that by themselves
yeah.
so you know anyways so. Oh, we've got this tension where Diggle's really upset. Anyways, and then you get Ollie, who's still at the party listening. I would have thought that the minute that he found out the guy was bad, he would have just ran away.
I wonder if everybody assumed that Oliver left the party because he had a headache. Because yeah, he walked away like holding his temple.
Oh, goodness me. Nice gas mask there, Diggle. It's, anyways.
You would where think, are they? I love
I know,
this.
I kept,
like, I'm trying to
I'm
point
trying
that
to figure
they're
out
in Vancouver
where it is.
Somewhere. But
it's well, this is a hill. Oh my god, this could be on OK, that giant hill that I had to drive down this morning. It was ridiculous. Or that well, it's hilly anywhere. It could be anything. I have no idea where this is.
I think that's over between Broadway and 4th.
Is it
somewhere? Yeah, yes. Yeah, towards Maine.
I could see that. It sort of looks. It looks.
I sort of recognize some of those buildings. Yeah. We're talking over all of the important action.
Well, it's again, it's action-y things. Right. Ooh, yeah. Diggle didn't shoot the thing, and ooh,
really hope that you guys are watching good, yes. this while we're
yeah.
talking about
I'm
it.
I'm the one with the grenade. That's the epic part where
yeah,
he is.
There's pretty
he's
way.
Like I have this grenade gun. Too bad for you.
Yeah, and he,
and
he
then
shoots
blows
the
dude up.
The
like
dudes.
That's pretty yeah. awesome. Anyway, so you got to chase.
And so what's his sister-in-law's name?
Carly, I saw it because the closed
Carly?
Caption
okay.
told me. Cause I
yeah,
didn't
so
really
she
know.
Runs, but then I Gaynor runs after her,
and
so Diggle
Knox,
runs after
yeah.
him, and then Knox is about to shoot Diggle yeah. when, thankfully, Oliver swoops in, knocks
and
the gun out of his
say,
hand, and then an awesome hand-to-hand fight that we cut away from.
Like, the Kali sticks came in handy because that guy whipped
yeah.
out the two, whatever, stick knife
they
things.
Were knives, yeah.
Okay,
they were two
yeah.
machetes.
Yeah.
And but it was wicked because he was using the bow. He was using the bow as a melee
yeah,
weapon
nice.
For the first time.
Nice.
I think we've released. Oh well, not the first time. We've seen him do it
yeah.
a little bit, but
yeah.
I think the first real hand to hand against somebody with a weapon, like
right,
weapon
yeah, weapons, yeah, getting rid of
which
them.
Was it was nice. It
yeah.
was nice to see that
yeah.
sort of very cool mm-hmm. comic book moment.
Oh, and then he just takes him out, man. Arrow just
yeah.
kills the dude.
As he's like, you don't have the guts to do it, Diggle. It's like, he's probably right. Diggle really didn't.
No, he didn't. But that's why he's friends with Arrow and
yeah.
why they work well together.
Yeah, they
and
compliment
they're
one
partners
another.
In this episode
yeah.
is what winds up happening. So, you knew I was coming? Aw. Yeah, see, he knew he needed the backup. So,
and there's the bug.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the cops are coming. You can kind of, at this point, start to hear the sirens in the background. But this is where he says, I trust you, Diggle, but
yeah.
I didn't trust them.
Yeah.
Like, that's
which is
the
fair.
Thing, is that he had to make sure that everything was, like, that these people
it's
weren't
good.
To be trusted or were.
Yeah.
Like, he's
yeah.
gonna err on the side of caution,
yeah.
I think. Except with where Diggle's concerned, he
yeah.
trusts Diggle.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how that plays out for him. I mean, I think that he can trust
yeah.
Diggle, but... But we'll see if something happens later on down the road where Diggle
yeah.
has to do something.
We'll see. Anyways, and so here's Thea in her car.
Yeah.
Dancing painfully. Why would she go by herself? I don't see why you wouldn't go with a friend. I don't know. Anyways. And what were you saying? The really expensive car crash that we witnessed.
Yeah,
here.
This is such an expensive car crash. I don't know where they found the money in the
look
budget
at that cut shot,
that.
Though. Look at how brilliant that cut shot was. Where you just turn it all around and I bet you didn't notice it. because it's hard to notice. Maybe it wasn't even. Maybe it wasn't cut. Maybe it was. Just
I don't think
set
it was
up.
Cut. It wasn't
it was
a
just
cut.
Set up. It was set up.
Yeah, to I think very what you get there. There's a little bit of behind the scenes, and
is
I almost
the car
guarantee
driving?
It.
Yeah.
The one car was already
there,
off the embankment,
set? Yeah,
like off the curb.
Yeah, and then they
in,
just
yeah, and yeah. And they had a duplicate and car drive yeah. around that the yeah. that her name's on the tip of my tongue. The actress that plays Thea.
Right.
Willa Holland?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
She wasn't actually driving. Her double
yeah.
would have been driving it.
And then
she was sitting in the car, so you just swing yeah. around like that.
Yeah, it's pretty
and,
good.
And with some fancy sound effects.
What did we say
and
last...
Some
leaves
well,
we covered
this. Air.
We covered this last week that they are using practical effects quite well on
yeah.
the show. Right?
Well,
and it's getting
old,
the job done.
Trick.
Oh, yeah.
I think it
yeah.
could have done without the leaves.
Yeah,
the leaves
yeah.
were the tip-off
yeah.
that they were trying to fake it.
Yeah.
But I like Oliver's jacket.
Their clothes in here are great.
Just
it's
as
good.
A side note.
Yeah.
So she's mostly okay.
She just has a head bump. Like, that's crazy.
Well,
how
that's a pretty big. That's
head.
A pretty bad gash
okay,
to,
yeah.
to be bandaged up
yeah.
and stuff. And it looks pretty gnarly.
It does.
But
sure.
She confronts her mom mm-hmm. about all of this stuff. About
well,
I mean,
no,
she
just
sort
says
of
you go away.
Yeah.
And it's really it's again it's Ollie sort of standing there. And not really being involved and trying to understand, because he doesn't know the second thing, right? He doesn't know that it's happened again. And again, this is where I say
yeah.
where really soon we're going to find out that he's yeah. just going to, again, not pay attention to it as much as he perhaps should. Oh.
Now, they're essentially living together.
Hey, that's my, that's similar to my remote. I wonder if they have the same TV as me. Anyways, Laurel, and look at how sad Tommy is. Isn't he just so, oh...
And you know, I think this is the first time that we've gotten Laurel in kind of a, other than the dresses that she wears on a regular basis, which
yeah.
tend to be pretty,
yeah.
pretty on the sex appeal, high
yeah.
on the sex
yeah.
appeal range.
Yeah.
But this is the first time I think like they've done like we talked about this last week with the way that this show treats female characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time 11 episodes in where we get our main female lead in sort of a cute. Sexy outfit. She's
really?
In her
she was wearing
pajamas.
Shorts the last time she was in her. She was in her pajamas when another time because I remember being like, "That doesn't. I don't know if that looks comfortable." I remember it was like she was ordering a pizza or something when the pizza guy. Remember the pizza guy in the cool hoodie?
Yeah.
I feel like she was wearing like her pajamas then. But
I think she might have been wearing yoga pants at that
okay.
point because I think it would be weird for her to answer the
anyways,
door.
This is the
yeah.
coolest that we see
yes.
John Barrowman stuff on the voiceover of Tommy talking about his dad disappearing for a year when
yeah.
he was 8.
Yeah.
How cool is this? And then you get John Barrowman with the photo of his family.
So
and,
evil.
Oh,
so
it's just,
beyond evil.
Oh, man. It's just great. And I don't know. It
and
seems
the,
like
yeah,
a similar...
And there's like the, another reveal.
Oh, you know what we forgot to point out? That Diggle called it the Arrow Cave.
Yes.
We totally didn't point
we,
that out.
We totally glossed
that,
over
but,
that,
but I mean...
Awesome.
Batman much? I don't know. It just it's
but we talked about
we
that
did.
In
we
the
did.
Comics. His hideout is
the,
called
the Arrow
Cave.
Yeah.
So just like it is the Arrowmobile mm-hmm. and the Arrow Jet.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah.
Which actually in the Smallville comic in the mm-hmm. season 11 Smallville comic, they just had Batman show up.
Oh, nice!
And so Oliver Queen in that the Justin Hartley Oliver Queen from Smallville, he's. He's jealous of Batman
oh.
because Batman has the Batwing
oh,
that he's,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
playing, so he's
oh,
been sketching
that.
Out his
oh.
Aerojet.
How am I not caught up on that yet? That's epic.
It's
oh,
so good.
Man.
It's so good.
Man.
So now we get the resolution of the of Diggle and Oliver,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of hashing it out and going like, you know what, Oliver saying I should have trusted you.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't trust the book entirely.
Yeah.
It's not as cut and dry.
Yeah. And he really talks,
but,
he said, he doesn't say it's difficult for me to trust anyone, it's anything.
Yes.
Right? So really that everything in his life is unstable and that he's not sure about anything, which is
except
just,
Diggle.
Yeah.
Which is
which
sort
is
of like
just,
why he says, mm-hmm. which is why you're my partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's the rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's got to have something steady to attach
around
himself
him, yeah.
to. Probably going to be very important next week when he goes up against Count Vertigo.
Yeah.
And
this
and,
is very poignant that we have.
Yes.
This is the first sort of partner moment where you see that it's no longer Arrow doing it. He's giving, they're like, we're in this together and you're part of this process that he's going through. And it's just very interesting. And I think it's a very symbolic thing that he has him cross off the name. Just very interesting.
Yeah.
So.
And then he hands him back the book and mm-hmm. says, I don't want to know what other names are in this book until you tell me.
Right. And that could be because of his trust until it's broken. Right? Maybe he's just is the trust automatically. It's just very interesting. Very interesting. Oh, and then, Thea's wearing camo pants. Yay. And a blue coat. I love that coat. It's great. Anyways, so we have the cops here about telling her that her tox screen did not test, and it's vertigo. And then you really get Arrow or Ollie. It's brilliant when you set it up for the next episode. This is one, I think, of the most seamless present-day through lines to the next episode, because they're usually okay. I mean, except for Huntress, really, as the last one where it really sets something up for the next episode. But this is the first time that you really get a hint of what's going to come next week. Yeah. Like, very clearly. And then, of course, we're ending on the island this week because the great reveal that's going to come up really soon. So, it's just very interesting. I think you get a lot of this. So, whoever Sebastian Dunn is playing, I forget his character, but you're getting an interesting side to him right now. Right? This idea that, and it's about, again, trust. And you get Yaffei. It's just so brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Who's actually working for the bad guys.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was just to get Oliver. The whole thing was to get Oliver
in a cage.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Look at that. They just threw it at us. Oh, man.
Yeah, well, and I did not see it coming. Oh, you didn't see it coming, right? Like,
no. That was good. Yeah. That was really, really, really good.
And next week we've got Count Vertigo.
And it just looks pretty epic. Seth Gable. So.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited. To see what happens to Count Vertigo being a character from the comics. Ted Gaynor, that name sounds really familiar to me.
Yeah, so it does as well.
I feel like Ted Gaynor might be a character from the comics as well.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds really familiar.
But
I feel like I don't know
off the top of my head.
I don't know why.
But you can look on your enormous smartphone there.
I have a no longer in the Blackberries, which I'm kind of sad about. I miss my Blackberry.
You're the only one. You're the only person who's ever missed their Blackberry.
You can't type on these. They're ridiculous. Ridiculous.
But this episode, a lot of really great turning points for characters. Tommy, we get to see sort of, since the first time when he first had his money taken away, this is the first time we've gotten to see him really stand on his own two feet and be his own guy and sort of confront his dad and stand up to his dad.
By the way, there's a whole thing about Black Hawk in the comics, so we just totally missed that.
Is there?
That's a big thing. That Ted Gaynor is in the New Earth comics, and he's a former U.S. Marine Corps, so it's the Marines. Okay. Anyways, there's a whole bunch here. So, yes, from the comics.
Is Ted Gaynor from the Black Hawks?
Oh, possibly. That's...
Because the Black Hawks are... Well, okay... In the current New 52, the Blackhawks are kind of like G.I. Joe.
Interesting.
In the older comics, like pre New 52, they were their sort of period, their World War II era, I think.
Oh, yeah, 1912, graduated top of class 1935.
Okay, yeah.
So he's,
because they're kind of like an elite commando.
Blackhawk squadron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Ted Gaynor is, so they took a hero character, Ted Gaynor, and made him a villain.
Interesting.
I don't know much about the Blackhawks. I like the Blackhawks because they're like a... I like the concept because they're like air... like an air squadron.
Right.
Like fighter pilots in the older comics. Like I said, in the newer New 52 stuff, they're more like G.I. Joe.
Right.
And when I say G.I. Joe, I don't even mean like G.I. Joe the cartoon. I mean G.I. Joe the movie.
Right.
Where like they have like Kevlar body suits and all of this weird tech.
It is. It's totally... It's Black Hawk. That's, I think, what it is. It's from... It's Military Comics number 1, 1941. Yeah. So, very interesting.
Interesting that they Ted Gaynor and do something like that. Because the name was... familiar.
Yeah.
I knew I'd heard it somewhere.
Writers here are just great. They have so much here. So, anyways.
But we won't be seeing him again.
We won't. Because he's... I think he didn't... I don't think he showed up a ton, but it... Because it doesn't seem like he's been one of the main characters in the Black Hawk. But anyways.
Okay.
Very cool. So they're doing lots of interesting things. I'm really excited for next week, and I'm excited for this show. I mean, next week will be exactly halfway, or just over... halfway through the season.
Yes, it's 23 episodes, right? Because we got that extra episode.
Yeah.
But you can safely assume that the finale will probably be a two-parter.
Yeah, so they'll probably do
a two-hour Wednesday for Arrow, and then the following week a two-hour Wednesday for Supernatural, right? Tends to be how they do it. The CW has done similar stuff in the past with Smallville and Supernatural. Good. So really, if you count those two episodes, that extra episode that got added on the 23rd one, one episode, we're at the halfway point right now. Very interesting. And you know, I feel we probably got a couple episodes to get through of like more episodic weekly stuff, like
and then we're
going to
probably
get something after that.
We'll get Roy Harper coming in.
And then the last few episodes,
we'll get the
probably
ball
the
rolling.
last month and a half to 2 months will be a sprint to the finish. Like it'll be episode after episode that builds on the conspiracy.
I think
we're only a few weeks away. I think by the end of February Oliver will have a hint
about what's going on
with
that. Would be great. And I think it'll really give him more purpose, because there's only so much we can go by with the books corresponding to the crimes, right, where the list corresponds to when it becomes actually about the end game, right? Because right now there's no end game. It's just this book, and it's very sort of it'd be interesting.
But I really think now, being halfway through the season, that we're not going to get a conclusion to this part of the story. The book is very thick and full of names.
Yes, that's true.
I don't think that Oliver fully understands it. In fact, it's not that I think that. He doesn't know what the book is.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand it. Neither do we.
But we got in this. The thing where he says his dad told him that it was important.
Yes.
Told him the meaning of the book. So we do know that there's something there.
Dad saw it, or as his dad was willing
understood
to reveal it.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So, but I want to know that. They haven't revealed that to us yet. So that's...
True. True. We also don't know how involved Robert was.
Yeah.
We don't know if it was Robert who was sort of... who got the Queens involved in it, or if it was Moira who got the Queens involved in it, and Robert was involved secondarily the same way Walter was.
Exactly,
right?
And you had that moment in here where Thea said, "I wish it was you that died on the boat," and you had Moira's reaction.
Yeah.
There was that said it, right? It's in there. So they're setting up these great little things, so let's pay attention to the subtlety. And
that's good. But I think we've got a long ways to go before the... before everything gets wrapped up, because we know we're gonna go to a second season, right? So,
which is great.
But I guess that's it for us for this week. We'll see you guys next week. But in between, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/quiverpodcast.
You can follow us on Twitter at quiverpodcast. We also have our website that you can go to, quiverpodcast.com.
And email your comments, questions, and feedback to mail@quiverpodcast.com. And we'll see you guys next week for Vertigo.
Thanks for listening.
Who wins? Superman wins, right?
Superman always wins. He just has to. And I was glad because Andrew was talking. He was like, well, I didn't expect Superman to win, but I watched it and yeah, it makes sense. Superman wins. I was like, of course Superman wins.
Superman always wins.
Yeah.
The thing about Superman is that if we really want to talk Superman, he always has a power. He always has a power that trumps whatever the other person has.
Yeah.
Especially if you go back to Silver Age, like the stuff from about the late 40s to the 70s, up until the modern age. Superman had no power base. Like he had powers. He had consistent powers on a regular basis, but anytime the writers needed him to do something awesome, he had a new power, right? So like there's an issue where he has a super sneeze, where he sneezes and it like puts out a building that was on fire or something like that. Like,
they did that in
well, yeah, they made the joke about it in Smallville where he sneezes and the clouds all like he changes the weather pattern.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like there's ridiculous stuff in the Silver Age.
In it, they do Superman a whole thing where they actually disclude the Superman that can create powers on whim. They actually even like that's why it's so
even without his power that generates powers, he still wins.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You want more to drink?
So it's, actually, yeah, but it's leaving a weird taste in my mouth. Can I maybe have Dr. Pepper instead?
Yeah, you
can
have one. Because
Kool-Aid is for 12-year-olds.
Slightly offensive. It's offensive to 12-year-olds, first of all, because that seemed a little bit like, I don't know, defamatory towards 12-year-olds.
No, it's
a little bit, a little bit. You're like, it's for 12-year-olds. Like, you're better than a 12-year-old. What makes you better?
I feel that in many ways I am better than a 12-year-old.
Sure, but you don't need to go around saying that.
Okay, sorry.
It doesn't serve anybody for you to lord your superiority over 12-year-olds.
My superiority in choosing Dr. Pepper over orange Kool-Aid. I feel as though Dr. Pepper is also something for...
Sounded like a much more general statement than that.
It wasn't.
I hope this conversation all got picked up so that I can put it at the end. Did you listen all the way to the end on the last one?
I didn't. I only listened to like the very first part of the episode last time. What's in the end of last?
Because the whole part about Crystal's toque that I said that I wouldn't put on, I put on. So there's me in there saying, I won't put this on the show. We're done. It's pretty good.
It's awesome.
Okay, did you see my hoverboard?
Dude!
You didn't see it.
Cool!
Yeah.
Oh my god, can I pick it up?
Yeah. It has like a little stand on it.
Do you get to actually, can you use it?
What do you mean, can you use it?
Like, can you stand on it?
Theoretically, you could stand on it.
Dude, is it Velcro? So that, is that like what it's supposed to be? Is like the shoes are supposed to be Velcro?
Kind of. Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, grip for your...
How did you get a hoverboard?
I went in my time machine and I picked one up.
Dude, this is cool. Dude.
It goes with my hat.
Nice. What hat?
I have Marty McFly's hat from Back to the Future.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I support that.
So I just need white high tops and acid wash jeans and I'm good to go for Halloween next year.
Halloween!
Okay. We ready?
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay.